Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. Hey gang, Bill Caskey back at the podcast. I'm glad to have you along today. Glad to be here too. I'm not going to talk about COVID and business disruption today. We're going to get into something else that I find really compelling and inspiring, at least it should be for you. And I'm going to share with you what I would consider the ideal sales process. The ideal sales process. Now, I'm going to dream big here. So come with me on this journey. And I think if you'll dream as big, you can radically change the sales model in your business. Hey, welcome back. If you're a sales leader or sales manager and you missed our webinar here where I went through the 21 keys to great sales leadership, you can go to worldclasssalesleader.com and find out about a mastermind program that we're getting ready to launch here very soon. I don't have the exact dates yet because I'm wanting to get the program set and the people in, and then we'll decide on the dates. Probably going to be end of May, 1st of June. So worldclasssalesleader.com. I like to think of myself as a bit of a counterintuitive thinker, because when I bring something to the market, when I bring an idea or I'm hatching an idea, or maybe I'm with a client and we do a day's worth of work, I do a lot of coaching, and sometimes it's intense 2 to 3 to 4 hours at a time kind of coaching, that good things come from that. And sometimes my mind has changed. And this topic of the perfect sales process or the ideal sales process has happened over and over to me. And the idea is that if we continue to look at the sales process through the same eyes, through the same filter and glasses, then we end up getting the same thing. And the same thing is low closing percentage, a lot of stress, long selling cycles. You got to defend to your manager or leader why it's not working. Or maybe if you're a leader, you have to defend to your CEO or founder why things aren't working, why the goals aren't there. And it seems like we keep buying into the same BS over and over and over. And often what we need is a model to reshape our perspective. And that's what this model that I'm going to give you is today. It's the ideal sales process, and I'm going to go through it. There's 6 steps to it. If you want to learn more about how you can implement this, then you got to get a hold of me. You can go to BillCaskey.com. Plenty of ways there to contact me. But if you're a frontline professional salesperson and you're tired, you're sick and tired of being dragged through the mud, you know, used as an unpaid consultant, used for your information, and then you have nothing to show for it at the end, listen up, because this is going to help you. Step one, I like to think that there is a triggering event in the world of the prospect. There's something that happens, and there's 2 types of events here. One is there's an event that happens inside the company. Let's say you're a recruiter and the CEO has one of their top people resign or retire or quit or move to a competitor or whatever. And all of a sudden that event triggers him or her to say, we got to find a filler. We got to find somebody else to come in and take that position. So as a recruiter, you might get that call if step two is right, which we'll get to in a minute. So it's like a triggering event. Something happens externally. You have no idea what it is, but for the person who's your prospect or suspect at this point, there is an event that causes them to say, I got to reach out. The second thing is maybe you reach out to them. Maybe they see a blog that you've written or a post on Instagram or Facebook, or maybe you're a guest on a podcast, which I think you should all be thinking about. How can you be a guest on podcasts that speak directly to your audience? So there's something that you've done. You've taken action to get out there onto a platform. Maybe it's your own platform. Maybe it's another podcast platform, but you're the one, and they hear it and they say, man, you know what? I didn't realize I had that problem. So that could be a triggering event too, which leads to number two. If it's a triggering event where they're starting to search and seek for a solution, you've got to be found. So step two is they search and they seek. They might seek you. In the case, if they've heard you on a podcast or read a blog, they would seek out you directly. But maybe they're just searching online for recruiters in the Dallas area. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're searching for you, although they might be. But regardless, you've got to be findable and you've got to be credible. Number one, findable. Number two, credible. Now, you don't have to be incredible at this point, although that's probably not a bad idea to think about how you can be incredible, but I know you're incredible. You just need to be credible. When they find you, either on LinkedIn, on some of the social platforms, maybe on YouTube, maybe they ask a friend who happens to refer them to you because they know you, you've got to be credible. If you have a sucky website or have no process at all, you have nothing to send to them in advance or anything to any link to send them to. The question is, are you just yet another salesperson or are you really a pro? Pros have things that a person, a prospect can consume. Again, it could be video, audio, an article, something that they can consume that builds credibility. So that when you do get that call or when you do get invited in, which is step three, you have some positioning behind you. You're not one of 17 people. Because here's what I find, and I'll just tell you my personal experience with this. I've got a couple of podcasts. I write a fair amount. I've got a book out. And so when I get the call from someone who has experienced an event and they search for me online and they find me and they maybe connect through the contact form on BillCaskey.com, I find that I don't have to really sell myself much because I've got 700 podcasts out there. And I've said this to people, and sometimes it pisses people off, but I've said, look, I'm not going to send you any more. I got 700 podcasts that are all 15 to 20 minutes. That's a couple hundred hours of content. If you don't know by then that I'm your guy, then I'm not your guy. I'm just not. So one more brochure or one more overview or one more proposal ain't going to do it. Now, I still do send proposals, but not up front. So step two is search and seek. They will search you out or they will seek a solution to their problem. Are you findable? Are you credible? Number three, they will invite you in. Are you easy to find? Are you easy to schedule a meeting with? You've heard me talk about Calendly. It's $149 a year calendaring system that I find incredibly easy to use. There's lots of them. I don't get any credit here. We're not an affiliate for Calendly. But you need some kind of a scheduling system so that people can proceed to make an appointment with you without going back and forth through email. There's even on Calendly, you can ask up to 5 questions. So you can ask the person, hey, how'd you hear about us? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the main topic you want to talk about? You can ask all sorts of things there. But I need you to think about when they invite me in, am I easy to schedule with? And is there a way I can lay the groundwork before then? I'm not suggesting that you not talk to the prospect before they invite you in. And invite you in could be physically or digitally. I'm just inviting you into the process, kind of telling you a little bit more about what they're trying to accomplish. But you need to lay the groundwork. The groundwork could be something as simple as the process. It could be something like, look, here's what happens. Here are the 5 questions I'm going to ask you when we get together. I expect you to ask me these questions. And then at the end, we can decide A, B, or C. So is there a groundwork laid so that when you do talk to them live, that there's a process in place? During that call, so step three is they invite you in and there's a conversation. Again, not physically, could be digital, could be virtual, whatever. That's when step four takes over and they reveal everything to you. This is not them qualifying you. This is you qualifying them. And what I mean by that is, do they have the kind of problem and the kind of commitment to solving the problem and the kind of economic justification to spend money to solve the problem that you need to see in a good prospect. And you know these things. So you need to, number one, create the environment. I don't have time to get into how to do that today, but that's step one, is create the environment where truth can be exchanged, where there is an authentic and truthful dialogue about their issues, what they've tried to do in the past to fix those issues, how much those issues cost them to have. And number two, you have to take furious notes. You've got to be a listener there. You've got to shut up, shut your ego down. You don't get to say anything. You don't talk about how great you are. Maybe at the end, you can give them some ideas on how you work with people. But generally, this is a listening session. And if you listen properly and set that upfront understanding properly, they will tell you everything. If you feel like they're holding something back from you, or if you feel like they weren't very revealing, then you can call them on it. Because remember, my whole goal with you is to get out of the sales process, get out of selling. You don't need to be convincing and persuading people to do business with you. They either have the kind of problem you can solve, and you show them how you can solve the problem, which is, guess what, number five, or not. And if not, you got to find somebody else to call on, somebody else that has a triggering event. So number four is during the meeting, they reveal everything to you. Number five, you return. So you're stepping away from that meeting after they reveal everything. You're saying to them, look, I think I can help you based on what you've told me today. We've helped other companies in similar kinds of situations and circumstances, but I don't know. Let me go back, take a look at the notes. See what my technical people, I mean, if you have tech, if you're in a very complex sale, obviously it's not going to be a two-call close, but maybe you come back and talk about what the process is at this point. But I think you always, when you return, you always have to start with a recap of the problem. Always. Or a recap of the possibility or the opportunity or the objective they have or the situation they're trying to get out of. You've got to recap that. I see so many times, even professional salespeople blow it because they get back in for the proposal stage or the solution stage or whatever you want to call it. I call it the recommendation stage. You can call it whatever you want. And they go right to the recommendation. No. Because if more than 2.5 hours have gone by, they can't remember what they told you. I think it's naive. I think we're pretty naive in this world. As sales professionals, we think they hang on our every word. They barely remember us when we leave and don't come back for 2 weeks. Unless you're really memorable and wear like pink sports jackets with bright blue Zanza belt pants. White belts, of course. Actually, I used to wear some Zanza belts in my day, in my 20s. I don't know why, but I did. So you've got to return, recap the pain or the possibilities. Layout number two is lay out the map for success. So see, every one of these six has two underneath it. The second one underneath, when you return, you go back in, is you lay out the map to success. Do you have a map for success? If they said, well, okay, well, if I buy, tell me what happens then. How do I ensure that your solution is going to make me successful? Don't have a map? You need a map. Brothers and sisters, you need a map. And it might take you hours to figure out what that map is, but you need it because they are going to put their faith in your ability to be a guide to get them from where they are to where they want to be. I have talked about that incessantly and indignantly and consistently and predominantly in any other way. You've got to have a map for how you're going to get them to success. And number six, you begin. So they look at the map and they say, okay, you're the guy that's going to solve the problem. You're the lady. You're on. This is perfect. This is what I need. This is what I've been looking for. Where have you been? And again, this is not necessarily in the first call or the second call. It could be 9 calls. But you need to have a process that mirrors what an ideal sales process is. And this is it. So step six is you just begin. I don't have two steps there. You just, okay, let's go. We're going contract, PO, whatever it is. So just to recap, number one is there was a triggering event or you've reached out to them in some way. Number two, they search and seek out a solution to this problem. You show up, hopefully. Number three, they say, you need to come in and I want to show you and tell you what our problems is or our problems are, which is number four. Number five, you return with a recommendation. And number six, you begin work. Underneath each one of those are a whole lot more than just two things, but I wanted to give you a sense of what I consider the ideal sales process. The ideal sales process is not where you are in convince and persuade mode all the way through. It just doesn't work. It creates too much resistance. It's a easy way out, though, if you don't want to work on these five or six things. If you don't want to work on it, you go in and you'll do your persuasion and convincing game, and you'll end up getting 10% of the deals, and then your life will be hard. And then I'll come along, or somebody will come along and say, hey, we need to double your income, Bob, next year. Well, the only way to double your income there is to work twice as hard. You can't. You just can't. So look at the ideal sales process. Write it down. Take some notes. If you want to contact me about it, go to BillCaskey.com. We've got some other sales groups starting here soon. So make sure you connect with me and I'll tell you more about those. See you next time. Bye.